You can quibble about the effects and results, but the evidence is clear that Russian activity on the internet, especially in social media, further revved up the debate prior to the 2016 presidential election. And it's not the only debate Russians piled onto or into. There's evidence that Russian trolls and Twitter bots also worked to gin up other debates about issues near and dear to the hearts of Americans, work in the present tense, too. We'll focus on the vaccine debate in this segment. That's what several researchers looked into for a paper published last fall in the American Journal of Public Health. The title of the paper makes the point quickly, using the term weaponized health communication. We have the lead author and the designer of the study here. That is David Broniatowski, who is an assistant professor in engineering management and systems engineering at George Washington University. David, thanks for joining us today.
My pleasure.
So this doesn't start from a vacuum, I'm sure. There must have been some indication before the research that people were working to amplify the vaccine debate in particular.
Yeah, well, so the way this study started was actually when we noticed that there was a big discrepancy between what we saw on social media and what we saw in some of the best survey data. So, for example, from the Pew Center, the best survey data seems to suggest that there's widespread support for vaccination in the American populace. But if you look at social media, what you really see is that it seems like there's a much larger anti-vaccine presence online. And we really wanted to understand where this discrepancy came from and whether it was representative of actual people's opinions.
And is there evidence from other studies that that kind of imbalance can, in fact, move the numbers on the survey results over time?
Well, in fact, there is. We're aware of studies that show that if you give equal time to two sides of a debate in which there is, in fact, consensus. So there's widespread consensus that vaccines are safe and effective. And if you give equal weight to one side that says vaccines are safe and effective and another side that says that they're not, that makes it seem like there's a debate to be had. And that actually increases hesitation, that increases delay, and makes people less likely to trust in vaccines and in their healthcare providers.
It sounds like there's a lesson at least slightly buried in there for journalists as well as for people who use social media as consumers.
I think that that in the particular case of vaccination, it's certainly something that is of concern.
So, David, how do you go about sorting out the real people from the bots, the sincere posters from the trolls?
Yeah, that's actually something that's relatively difficult to do. In our study, what we did was actually used a list of known bots and trolls that were identified by other researchers using a variety of techniques. For the trolls, the Russian trolls, we used lists of accounts that had been identified by NBC News and by the U.S. Congress. And for bots, there were about four or five different papers which used different sorts of techniques to essentially identify bots. But all of these accounts had clearly distinguishable behavior from humans.
All right, so but the trolls are humans, aren't they, or at least nominally?
Well, nominally, yes. So a troll is not necessarily an automated account. A troll is really any account that's designed to sort of stir up anger or discord or is operating in such a way to troll people, to basically make people angry and provoke some kind of a response. So that can be a human. That could, in some cases, be a bot. It could be what's called a cyborg, which is an account that is nominally operated by a human, but sometimes handed over to a bot during certain hours. But generally speaking, trolls have at least some human operation. That's correct.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like with any of these, though, at some point somebody does get in there and put in new information or something that then gets relayed and relayed and relayed.
Yeah, that's right. Even the most sophisticated bots have to have some kind of a dictionary or some kind of a list of tweets to retweet or some kind of accounts to follow. Someone's got to tell it what to do. It can't do it on its own.
I was familiar with the terms bots and trolls in advance, but there's a category here in this in your paperwork that I hadn't seen before, content polluters.
That's right. So content polluters were actually identified at this point about 8 or 9 years ago in one of the earliest papers about bots. And these are a specific type of bot that essentially try to get a bunch of followers and then spam those followers with unsolicited commercial content and essentially anything else that whoever's paying for the bot wants the people to see. And so in this particular case, it's called content polluter because rather than promoting sort of sincere content, it's just spewing stuff out there.
All right. So the major effort here then is just to make sure that things get so muddied that it's hard for a person who's trying to think critically to do so.
Well, certainly in the case of the trolls, you have a lot of amplification going on, and that's something that you see a lot in both bot and troll activity, where otherwise fringe debates become amplified, and it makes it look like there is a lot of consensus around something where, in fact, it really may be quite a fringe perspective. It's a technique that's been called astroturfing because it looks like grassroots, but it's fake.
Okay, yeah, we've heard that expression in politics for many years now, but it's got an online component, obviously, now.
Absolutely.
Too. David Broniatowski is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, an assistant professor in engineering management and systems engineering at George Washington University in Washington, D.C. He's the lead author of an article published last fall in the American Journal of Public Health called Weaponized Health Communication, Twitter Bots and Russian Trolls Amplify the Vaccine Debate. You're hearing just the beginnings of the discussion now on the Jefferson Exchange about how Russian bots and trolls and content polluters get out there and stir up a big debate and make it appear like there's more support for one side than perhaps there is in real life. Join us on the Exchange with your thoughts, questions, comments, 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Now, your research here focused only on Twitter. Is that right, David?
Yeah, this particular paper focused on Twitter.
All right. So no other sites or social media platforms?
Not in this paper, not in this study.
Was there a specific hashtag or set of hashtags you were looking for? Because that's obviously what Twitter is famous for.
Right. Well, we didn't set out to look for specific hashtags. Instead, we were looking for any tweets that mentioned vaccines. And so we included anything in our database if it had the word vaccine or the VAX, anything that may refer to vaccines. And then we obviously filtered out things that were not relevant. For example, there's a band called The Vaccines. but we didn't start out looking for specific hashtags. However, we did find some quite unique hashtags that were localized or restricted to Russian troll activity that we didn't find really anywhere else. And so in particular, we found a hashtag called VaccinateUS. It was a little bit weird because unlike most vaccine hashtags, which can either be pro-vaccine or anti-vaccine, this one was both. And so it was something that sort of started to serve us as a clue that something odd was going on.
And VaccinateUS primarily came from those Russian bots and trolls?
That's right. And in fact, if you were to go online on Twitter right now and search for VaccinateUS, you might find very few tweets. The vast majority of them have actually been deleted by Twitter because they've been traced to accounts that have since been identified as malicious accounts. As it happens, we've been collecting data on vaccines and tweets mentioning vaccines since 2014. And so we have about 300 or 400 of these tweets in our archive. And we were able to recover a lot of these deleted tweets, and we found that the vast majority of them, all but maybe five, were traceable to these troll accounts.
That was one of my questions about the raw material working with here. So if tweets had been deleted, you could get a hold of them and find them.
Well, again, we have essentially stored copies. We've been downloading and storing tweets about vaccines since 2014. And so if any tweet mentions one of a set of keywords, and those can include things like vaccine or immunization or Zika or whatever, we take that tweet and we just sort of store it away in our archive for future analysis.
I'm afraid to ask, this is a bot, isn't it? I mean, you have to have some automation to be able to collect all these tweets, don't you?
Yeah, well, that's actually a really good point here. It's just, you know, just because you have a bot, not all bots are malicious bots or what are known as social bots, right? There are a lot of bots on Twitter. In fact, many, many Twitter accounts are very legitimate uses of bots. Some of them are, for example, associated with news organizations. So most news organizations have a Twitter account that automatically posts headlines. So that's a bot. You have some kind of funnier bots like Big Ben, which is an account that just goes bong, bong, bong every hour. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with that, and it certainly doesn't violate Twitter's terms of service. However, you have more malicious uses of bots, where these bots don't self-identify, or they even worse, masquerade as legitimate human users to carry out some other purposes, and those accounts are expressly forbidden by the terms of service of Twitter, and typically are considered more malicious.
So, David, you mentioned you started collecting data in 2014, and it looks like you, just for the purposes of this study, you kind of chose an end date in 2017. Is that right?
Yeah, this study actually went, I believe, through early 2018, but it might have been September 2017. I don't recall off the top of my head, but it was within that time frame.
And was there a particular form to the curve of information? Was it a fairly steady flow, or did it rise and fall upon a few occasions?
Well, I mean, obviously, there were certain topics that you tended to see some peaks and troughs. So, whenever vaccines are something that become popular in the news, you see many more tweets about vaccines in general. So the Disneyland measles outbreak led to a much larger number of tweets about vaccines than you would typically see in the baseline. You started to see more during certain segments of the discussions around the election. Certain other outbreaks led to more discussion about vaccines. The Zika and Ebola outbreaks led to more discussion about vaccines as people started to speculate whether vaccines would become available. But nevertheless, there was still always this basically constant baseline of chatter that was pretty much ongoing throughout all of those.
We're talking again with David Broniatowski with the Department of Engineering Management and Systems Engineering at George Washington University. He is the lead author of a study published looking at Russian bots and trolls and activity in the vaccine debate in the United States. And it resulted in a paper called Weaponized Health Communication, Twitter Bots and Russian Trolls Amplify the Vaccine Debate. You're welcome to join the discussion on the Jefferson Exchange, 800-838-3760, by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Can you give a bit of a flavor here then, David, about the kinds of things that were out there and whether they provided links to further information or if they were just sort of standalone items?
Yeah, so that's a great question. We actually saw a little bit of both. So among some of the Russian troll tweets, we saw a lot of retweets of popular anti-vaccine accounts that provided links to websites that were either promoting things like natural alternatives or things like basically anti-vaccine websites, anti-vaccine information. But we also saw a lot of new information that was essentially absent any links. And a lot of this new information was in the form of statements that tried to link vaccines to controversial issues in the U.S. political discourse. So you may see something along the lines of how vaccines are or are not religiously mandated, or you may see something about vaccines and only the elite get clean vaccines, whereas what do the rest of us get? Things that really attempted to try to link the issue of vaccination to other known hot-button issues in American politics.
Yeah, just on the basis of the couple of examples right there, it sounds like this is the usual sort of divide and conquer strategy of get people to feel that there's a they doing something to them.
Yeah, well, so, I mean, there's certainly a pattern here of these accounts really trying to stir up discord. Sometimes it didn't quite sit right in the sense that, if you're an American reading these tweets, they don't sound like your standard anti-vaccine tweets that you might see from your standard anti-vaccine accounts. They sounded like they were a little bit off, whereas others really could have easily been something that fit more into the discourse. And so I think that's sort of an indication that whoever was operating these trolls, depending on where they were throughout the cycle, was sort of learning how to do this.
All right. Now I was looking at just vaccination rates yesterday. This is not the same as the polls in support of vaccination. I get that. But nationally, more than 80% of the population gets some vaccines.
Right.
What did you show in terms of the rate of pro versus anti in these tweets?
Yeah, so it's a great question. And the pro versus anti rates really depend on the sort of tweets you're talking about. So when you're talking about tweets that are almost certainly from humans, so not trolls, not bots, not cyborgs, definitely humans, you see primarily pro-vaccine tweets. So the majority of tweets are pro-vaccine. Even so, there's still a significant anti-vaccine representation, but I think at least 60%, maybe more, are pro-vaccine. However, when you start looking at known bots, and some of these troll accounts, it's almost exactly 50-50 down the middle, which suggests that they're really taking both sides and promoting them almost exactly equally. What was the most interesting was that there was a bunch of accounts that couldn't be identified as definitively bots or definitively humans. That may be because they're trolls or because they're what's known as cyborgs, which is to say, there are accounts that may be operated by bots, may be operated by humans at different times, or they sort of display aspects of both. And those accounts are where you tended to see an overrepresentation of the anti-vaccine tweets.
Let's take a call here. We have David Broniatowski on the line with us talking about the study on Russian bots and trolls getting involved in the vaccine debate. Here's a call from Karen in Eureka. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Hi. I just thought you might find it interesting that I actually Twittered every senator, every Democratic senator regarding the wall like a few weeks ago when they were first starting to vote on it, requesting that they didn't let it be built. And then and that was fine, and I did them each individually, and it was a short message, a one or two sentence short message, please no wall. Anyway, then I started down the Republican list, and I got the list from the Senate. There's a website about a Senate website, and they list them all. And if you click on the individual senator, they have on the left side, tweet me. You know, there's a little button to tweet them, and so that's how I did it. And when halfway through the Republican senator list, Twitter cut off my account. I thought that was real interesting. It's not like it was automated or anything. I did each of them individually, but apparently he didn't like someone requesting they don't vote.
All right. So, interesting. Thanks for that, Karen. Appreciate it. So that raises the question, David, about the kinds of things that would appear to violate Twitter's rules. And why do bots and trolls seem to go uncaught for so long?
Yeah, that's a really good point from the caller. You know, it's really hard to very clearly identify with 100% accuracy whether any given account may be a bot or may be a human. And if somebody is engaging in behavior that looks like it could be automated, so for example, somebody who is going down the list one at a time, one after the other, well, that's something that in principle you could program an algorithm to do, especially if you're sending the same message. That's something that Twitter's algorithm may flag as, oh, this looks like a bot. And so, yeah, what that really does is it underscores the point that it's hard to identify with 100% certainty when someone's or some account is operated by a bot and when it's operated by a human. And I think that really really points to this issue of provenance and that we need to sort of move things away from the debate being about is this a bot or is this a human to what is the nature of the content itself. Are we looking at content that is designed to misinform or disinform? What's the agenda underlying that content? And so in the case of a lot of the vaccine tweets, one of the things that we observed was that a lot of the tweets seem to be associated with attempts to stir up political discord. In the case of the content polluters, they were perhaps trying to sell something, distributing spam and malware and using vaccines as sort of a hook to get people to click on links. So again, the question of is this a bot or is this a human is sort of a secondary question to what's the nature of the content. And as I said before, there are totally legitimate uses of bots as well.
So with the information that you've provided here, and again, the report is called Weaponized Health Communication, Twitter Bots and Russian Trolls Amplify the Vaccine Debate. I mean, what should either the people who run Twitter and or public health officials be doing to consider what you found here?
Yeah, that's a great question. So for the question of what should Twitter be doing in this space, you know, I think all of the social media platforms really need to get together and essentially come up with a shared approach to self-governance. If we're going to have widespread disinformation, misinformation, in many cases hate speech, and other malicious content spreading on social media platforms, there is nothing within the terms of service of these particular platforms that requires them to tolerate that sort of behavior, but at the same time, it's really on them to figure out what is the appropriate way to essentially figure out how to regulate it. At the same time, you know, the question from the public health perspective really comes down to how do we communicate our message effectively and in a way that really gets to the core content and the core meaning.
Yeah,
why people should vaccinate.
Real crowded marketplace out there for that, for sure. David Broniatowski, Department of Engineering, Management, and Systems Engineering, George Washington University. Thank you so much.
Thank you.